Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
A mid-morning dance with the devil from the Farmer of Fury.
Dangerous mid-morning debate with the Great Dictator.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. Another long and turbulent week has come to an end and we now have an opportunity to take stock of just where we are. Apparently, most of Britain now wants to remain in the European Union. Well, that's according to the Irish Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Ireland is also more important to America than Britain is, or so says Bonnie Greer, who was on Question Time last night, spouting her usual race-baiting rubbish. Meanwhile, over in Brussels, they're still attempting to hold the door open for Boris Johnson while rushing away from it at 100 miles per hour. The Prime Minister will spend this afternoon phoning various European heads of state as it's beginning to look like his softly approach yesterday may well be working in Westminster. Despite the negativity from Labour, the Lib Dems and the SNP, it looks as though Boris might just massage the numbers in the right direction for his new deal, even though Rory Stewart is the latest MP to quit the Tory party. Talk about getting the timing wrong, Rory. Nobody cares. Let's see if anyone notices that you've disappeared from our parliamentary process at the next election. 0344 499 1000. Coming up, we'll be finding out why Extinction Rebellion is still being allowed to wreak havoc up and down the country after their fake blood stunt went horribly wrong yesterday. And we'll be asking why Home Secretary Priti Patel wants to read all of our private Facebook messages. 0344 499 1000. Plus, because it's Friday, we're getting a visit from a chef who's bringing in some food that he's been out hunting. And it's time for another sparkling edition of the Perrier Awards. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, right here on Talk Radio.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham
on Talk Radio.
Coming up very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Daniel Janner, QC, son of Lord Janner, who was one of the people wrongly identified and wrongly accused of some horrible, terrible, ghastly crimes by Carl Beach, who fabricated a whole host of evidence and claims about various prominent Tory MPs and various other people in high levels of society, which ended up with a Metropolitan Police investigation, which went on and cost £2.5 million, which saw the homes of Lord Bramall, Lady Diana Britton, like Leon Britton's wife, former MP Harvey Proctor, having their homes raided, having their names besmirched, having their reputations trashed, all because Tom Watson, the deputy leader of the Labour Party, told the police that this was a very, very dangerous and important investigation, and they would have to treat it with the utmost urgency. Well, quite frankly, a report which has come out today, which has completely trashed the police and trashed the idea that Tom Watson was right about that as well. We'll talk to Daniel Janner about that very shortly. First, though, Susan Hall is here with us, Conservative member of the London Assembly. Susan, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, I mean, I don't wish to stray off the line here, but before we start talking about Extinction Rebellion and those ridiculous attempts yesterday to smear fake blood all over the Treasury and managing to fake themselves out of all probability, what do you make of this report that's just come out, which has really, really been critical of the Metropolitan Police? It's bad news for Cressida Dick, I would imagine.
Well, I imagine it is. I haven't had time to read it, but, I mean, it's very worrying. We've asked questions about it in City Hall but it is worrying. It needs to be looked at.
Yeah, absolutely right. Let's talk about this incident yesterday. I mean, it probably made for one of the funniest videos of the year so far, as these planks from Extinction Rebellion didn't realise that it's actually quite hard to control a very, very fast-flowing fire hose.
Absolutely. I would suggest they don't apply to become a firefighter. I mean, those hoses are really difficult to hold. I mean, I go to lots of demonstrations, etc. They're far more difficult than would be imagined, as was evidenced yesterday. Hysterical. I hope they didn't get too stained by all the red mixture coming out.
Well, it was ridiculous, though, wasn't it? Because a lot of people actually asked some very serious questions on Twitter, such as, how the hell did they get hold of a fire engine? Apparently they bought it on eBay. How is it possible that they were able to drive it up to a very, very important government building and get so close to a government building and basically deface a government building? Because, let's face it, if they had been terrorists, if they had a bomb on board, you know, what would have happened then?
Couldn't agree with you more, and that's something that's got to be looked into. I wasn't aware that you could buy them on eBay. I was aware that one of the ex-firefighters, I think, has got a couple and keeps them for various events, but I wasn't aware that you could just buy them on eBay, which is shocking.
And it wasn't apparently taxed either, so it shouldn't actually have been driving around.
No, well, let's hope that suitable fines, whatever else, put to these people that are driving it.
Yeah.
But going forward, you're quite right. Something needs to be done about that. It's very worrying.
I mean, the police, it seems, tend to just ignore Extinction Rebellion. I mean, you know, when they decided to occupy Waterloo Bridge all those months ago, the police were dancing around them. They were sort of skateboarding around them. They joined in with some of the sing-songs that they had. They don't seem to want to arrest these people. I know many of them have been arrested, but they don't seem to want... They don't do it with much gusto, do you know what I mean?
Yes, there was 1,100 arrested, I believe, in April.
Yeah.
Well, the problem was, Sadiq Khan, I think it was late April, actually called them allies and approved of what they were doing. Well, that then, I assume, puts the police in a difficult position.
Yes, well, it does.
Because
also, did Michael Gove not grant them an audience as well at some point or other? Which seems to me to be ridiculous.
Well, it went on then for 2 weeks. It is absolutely shocking. I mean, when you've got brilliant councils like Westminster, the amount of resource they're going to have to put into this, because apparently they're going to do a two-week thing again. I read in the Times today that 2,200 of them are prepared to go to prison. This is a nonsense. They've got to understand that there are consequences to their actions. And people of London deserve to be able to get around, to get to hospital, etc. And pulling away all these officers from really very serious crimes that are going on all over London is a disgrace, in my view.
I mean, they're calling this an October rebellion, right? I mean, is there nothing that the city can do? And I know, as you say, if the city leader, Sadiq Khan, is sympathetic, he's probably not going to do it. But surely we should be looking at this group as a disruptive organisation, as a criminal organisation, and to be honest, not far off terrorist organisation.
Well, I don't know as I'd go that far, but they certainly need to be dealt with far stronger than they have been before. And I mean, if you go to the website Climate Change Performance Index, I think we're fifth on in the world.
Yeah.
Why are they in London demonstrating? They should be going to, you know, embassies of countries that are absolutely dire.
Right, exactly. Or they could go and pop over to Moscow, see how Vladimir Putin likes them, because he's not very keen on Greta Thunderbird, as I call her. You know, these people are absolutely maniacs. I mean, I'm watching a video this morning on Twitter from New York, where a constituent of that woman who's part of the squad that Donald Trump doesn't like, AOC, is actually standing up and saying, with a straight face, without anybody interrupting her, the population problem in this world is so bad now that we may have to start eating our own children. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I saw that. I mean, the world's gone mad.
It really
the
has.
The world has gone mad. It's crazy. But, I mean, if they're complaining in America, they've, you know, they are very, very bad on climate change issues. In Britain, we are not. And, you know, we're doing really well. And this does not help their cause, because so many Londoners are going to be put out really badly in the next couple of weeks. The cost implications are terrible. And the sheer amount of police officers that are going to have to deal with this is an absolute disgrace, when we've got knifings going on all over the place and goodness knows what else.
I know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, finally, Susan, what about Rory Stewart? He's decided he doesn't want to be a Tory anymore. He wants to be an independent, wants to run to be mayor of London. What do you make of that?
Oh, bless. I mean, honestly, he's attention-seeking. And it's yet another Remainer. I mean, God help us for all these Remainers everywhere. Sean Bailey is a very good chap. He is a Brexiteer. Thank goodness, one out of all this lot that are standing, one of them is standing up, the Brexiteer, for all of those good people out there that did vote for Brexit, and all of those good Remainers that voted to remain and are accepting that the Democratic vote said we should leave. Gone them. They're the heroes.
Well, this is the point. The trouble is, I suppose, with Sean, is that he's not that well-known as an individual. He needs to get himself out there a bit more. He should get himself into the Independent Republic. Tell him to come along and we'll get him a bit better known.
Well, I'm seeing him tonight. I will pass on that message.
All right, tell him to pop by News UK. We'll get him on the radio. Thanks very much indeed. Susan Hall, Conservative member of the London Assembly, very sensible woman, eminently sensible. She'd make a good mayor, actually. Anything's better than Sadiq Khan, for heaven's sake. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Daniel Janner, QC, son of Lord Janner, on this diabolical report about the devastating and terrible life-changing events that took place, thanks to Carl Beach, the fantasist, who was convincing enough to a news organisation called Exaro, to the deputy leader of the Labour Party, Tom Watson, and to all sorts of members of Scotland Yard's investigations unit and the head, Cressida Dick, of the Metropolitan Police, who relentlessly pursued people who were entirely innocent and made out that they were entirely guilty. Absolutely shocking. This is Talk Radio.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
Independent Republic of Mike Graham, you know what to do. 0344 499 1000. Former High Court Judge Sir Richard Henriques carried out a review of the Metropolitan Police's controversial Operation Midland, which ended in 2016 after 16 months without a single arrest. Today, parts of that report, which had previously been redacted, which had previously been unpublished because the Metropolitan Police presumably didn't fancy what it said, have now been published. And it does look like the Metropolitan Police, they say, had an unwarranted and disproportionate belief in Carl Beach, who fabricated claims of a VIP paedophile ring in Westminster around people like ex-Tory MP Harvey Proctor, Lord Bramall, and the late ex-Home Secretary Lord Britton. It was an absolutely disgraceful episode, egged on by Tom Watson, the deputy leader of the Labour Party. We're going to talk now to Lord Janner's son, Daniel Janner, who's a QC, a criminal barrister, about how dreadful it all was, but also maybe about how today is showing some kind of justice. Daniel, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Thank you for giving me the chance.
No, not at all. I mean, I find this report to be incredible in its way. I found the whole conduct of Exaro News, of Tom Watson over the years, to be absolutely reprehensible. This morning in the Times, it says Watson told to quit over his bogus sex abuse claims. And even now, he still says, well, you know, it wasn't up to me to decide whether these were true or not.
Well, what he actually said was, he described Leon Britton, and I quote, as close to evil as any human being could get. And he also, we're talking about whipping up hysteria here, he said in the House of Commons on the 24th of October 2012, and I quote, he has clear evidence suggesting a powerful paedophile network linked to Westminster.
Yeah.
That evidence, we now know, was based on Nick. And he put pressure on the police in a wholly inappropriate way, which is why he should hang his head in shame and resign.
Well, absolutely, but he just shows no sign of doing that. I mean, what do you think his motivation was? I mean, surely it must be more than just a hatred of Tories. Surely it must be something else.
Well, political gain. He's a very clever political operator, and he succeeded. He became deputy leader of the Labour Party. But this scandal has ramifications far beyond Tom Watson. It has ramifications going right up to the higher echelons of the Metropolitan Police. And what we're calling for in my family, in the legal profession, is a judge-led inquiry. This isn't just about important people, VIPs. It's about everybody. Everybody is entitled to have faith in a fair criminal justice system, and not where bizarre, wholly ridiculous claims are accepted as being true.
Of course. And one of the more disturbing things, I think, Daniel, was the way that some of these warrants were obtained as well, because it would appear, and I'm not sure if this is actually in this report today, I think it is, that police sort of misrepresented the evidence that they thought they had or that they told the judges that they had in order to get search warrants for the properties.
Which is why it's even more important that a judge takes control of this, decides it, and a judge who's impartial and neutral and cannot be said to be any part of whitewash, such as the IOPC report, which has found that none of these officers are in any way culpable.
No. I mean, on a sort of purely personal level, it must have been horrendous for you and the families of the other men involved to see this happening.
Well, it was horrendous for us because we know my father is innocent of allegations such as the ones that Nick made and such as others made. So it has been horrendous. We have fought the allegations in the civil courts. Sorry, an ambulance just went by. In the civil courts, successfully, the whole lot was withdrawn. But it's been a battle because people say, oh, no smoke without fire. But it's worth remembering that Nick accused my father of raping him in the Carlton Club, a conservative club with conservatives, and he was Labour. Yet the police took this in and described it as credible and true. So it is hurtful, but we in our family, as has Lady Britton and other families, known the truth, and the truth is starting to come out, thankfully.
Yes, indeed. But, I mean, Nick, as he was Carl Beach, was an incredibly unlikely reliable witness. You know, you just had to take one look at him. I mean, I've been a journalist for a long time, as indeed you've probably been in the legal business a long time. You do get an intuition about certain people. And when I saw some of the allegations that he was making in writing, first of all, I just thought, this just does not read true to me. It just, there seems something wrong. And yet there were people, along with Tom Watson, who were willing to take his word for it.
Well, this went up, as I said, to the very top of the Metropolitan Police. I mean, the early stages of this, it now appears that Cressida Dick herself was involved. And that is why the seriousness of this case cries out for a judge-led inquiry for the sake of everybody, to make sure that everybody in society has faith in our criminal justice system and the police. Mm. And by the way, what Tom Watson did was a disservice to genuine victims. Of course there are genuine victims, and everybody's allegations need to be considered. But when they're patently ridiculous, to take them on board and treat them as if they are true, credible and true, is plainly absurd. And the criminal justice system, post-Savile, swung too far the other way.
Sure. I think they were terrified of getting something else wrong, I suppose. But, I mean, that's no excuse for just inventing something and running with it. Because, you know, aside from anything else, the report which is coming out today should have come out some years ago. But it's only because of the work of some other journalists and people like yourself that it's actually finally been published.
Yeah, and Stephen Wright in the Mail in particular. But we are, as a group, fighting this. We're fighting to introduce changes in the legal system. You may have heard that I've founded an organisation called FAIR, Falsely Accused Individuals for Reform, to change the law on anonymity. Mm. So we're trying to get good out of this evil.
It really is extraordinary. And what about Priti Patel's involvement? Because she's now spoken about the case. What are you hoping that she might do?
Well, she has said she's referring it to the Inspectorate of Constabulary, which is a good first step. She's plainly taking a grip, and she's not letting this one go. But I hope the pressure will increase. I think it will increase when people have a chance to absorb this report along the lines of a judicial inquiry, as a senior judge coming in and sorting this out for everybody's sake.
Mm. And given the lather that the politicians at the moment are getting themselves in over the use of language, you would have thought that there might be some MPs who would call Tom Watson to book on this, wouldn't you?
Well, I think they will. I'd be very surprised. I don't know how the inner workings of the Labour Party are, but they seem to be very complicated at the moment. What is surprising, as far as Tom Watson is concerned, is he takes the moral high ground against anti-Semitism, yet at the same time, surely as hypocritical, in the way that he's treated Leon Britton and others.
Yes, exactly right. And as far as some of those people whose careers were ended, I mean, Harvey Proctor's life was turned upside down. He had to move out of the country. I mean, it was absolutely awful. And I know that there have been some, I think, attempts at claiming some kind of compensation, but you can never really compensate people for that, can you?
No, Harvey was directly in the firing line. In my case, it was my father. We knew he was innocent, but he was my father and he had dementia at the time, which is part of the reason he was picked on.
Mm.
But Harvey Proctor faced the music. I mean, he was accused of three child murders,
yeah,
and interviewed and risked being charged on this. So he deserves to be compensated. And you mentioned the unlawful searches. Well, there were unlawful searches, Judge Henriquez has said, in relation to Operation Midland. But we also, as a family, suffered an unlawful search of the House of Lords office of my father because the judge was not told he had dementia and I had power of attorney. So that search was unlawful too.
Right.
Hence, again, my calling out for a judge-led inquiry.
And what would you hope that that would then lead to? Because, I mean, in the end, something quite serious has to happen here, doesn't it? People have to be punished, I would say, in some way, shape or form. I don't know whether that means people being fired, losing their jobs, or maybe even being charged with something.
Well, it appears that the officer in charge, Mr. Rodhouse, has been promoted on the back of this.
Of course.
Lord Hogan Howe's got a peerage. I mean, it appears that those at the centre of this have done pretty well out of this, but it's not for me to judge. It's for a judge to judge on all the evidence. And if there are lessons to be learned generally, so be it. If there's specific wrongdoings, well, they need to be looked at properly as well to see whether or not criminal charges have been carried out.
Yeah.
Should be instituted.
Yeah, it's absolutely quite staggering. Daniel, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I'm sure we'll speak again. Daniel Janner, QC, who is, of course, criminal barrister, son of Lord Janner, who was one of the senior Tory MPs, former Tory MPs, sort of basically accused of the most horrendous crimes, not simply embezzlement, you know, not accused of stealing something from the House of Lords canteen, accused of paedophilia, accused of murder, accused of child rape. I mean, these were absolutely horrendous and ghastly accusations, which, quite frankly, if you had half a brain, you would look at and go, there is absolutely no way that this could be true. But instead of that, you got the Metropolitan Police, egged on by Tom Watson and some other people in the media, right? Metropolitan Police officers, according to this report today, had unwarranted and disproportionate belief in Carl Beach and his fabricated claims. I find it quite staggering that this was allowed to go on, and only now is it being sorted out. £2.5 million wasted. The homes of Lord Bramall, as I said, Leon Britton, former Tory MP Harvey Proctor, raided on the basis of these false claims. Lives turned upside down. Absolutely horrendous stuff. Just ghastly.
More gun talk from a water pistol from the Farmer of Fury.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Friday, it's 12:34, and it's time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Perrier Awards.
Why are you laughing?
Your little dance.
Do you remember Ed Vasey? Do you remember when I asked him why he was laughing? He got all upset.
Yes, I remember.
I wasn't laughing.
He denied laughing.
He denied laughing.
I did.
You didn't deny laughing.
No.
Which is good because Con Mendez is here with the truthful Perrier Awards as opposed to the untruthful ones. Would you like to begin?
Yes, that's right. We've added truth this week. Welcome.
You didn't even get to the first word.
Welcome once more to the Perrier Awards. This is where we go back over the past week of the so-called Independent Republic of Mike Graham and choose our very favourite moments.
Yes.
It's been another great week for the show where we broadcast the Prime Minister's conference speech.
Mm.
And if you're a fan of things that go on too long, that are funny in places but disappointing in others, you're going to enjoy this. Let's begin. As is tradition, the first Perrier goes to you, Mike.
Thank you.
You win the award this week for being humble.
Kitski. My Twitter is going mad at the moment, by the way. Kitski keeps going up and up and up and up, and people are retweeting me and liking me much more. It's true.
Are they? I mean, they're liking you much more.
They are liking me much more. I'm much more likable now than I used to be. If you don't believe that, you should ask people who used to work for me.
Okay, I will do, yeah. And you have managed to stay so humble, even during this moment, from speaking to Dr. Lawrence Gurlis, who during a conversation about vaping, rather aptly, won the Perrier for blowing smoke up your proverbial.
As you might imagine, intransigent when they were talking to me, and yeah. They seemed not to get the fact at all that I thought that what they were doing was slightly unwise.
Well, I give you 100% support. You're absolutely right, and your instincts and your common sense are better.
See, this is what people are beginning to realise.
Like,
why
I
did you not
like
carry the bit where he said that I actually had more common sense than Public Health England? That's what he said.
It was
cut
close.
That bit out.
Yeah, well,
shocking.
You also in the Ferrier this week for made up thing of the week.
Now, apparently, if you're a diabetic, diabetes pills are on the short supply. Diet painkillers are running up.
Diet painkillers.
Have you not heard of them?
No, I haven't. Okay. What are they?
I can't tell you. They're not strictly legal.
Okay, good. But the NHS are running out, you say?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I say it every week, but with Brexit, the news can be very complicated. Mm. But for those who are struggling to get their head around it, caller Ryan in the New Forest was on hand to explain his analogy of the week.
Pac-Man. People remember Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And the analogy is that all these little bits of society are the little white dots, and Pac-Man is the society. And all these other things, like liberalism and all the other sides that are really quite happy at the moment, society's going around eating all of the pills, and it's all happy because they're at the top of the screen and it's been eaten. But one day, Pac-Man's going to eat all the pills, and we all know what happens then. The screen flashes, and he comes around and eats all the ghosts. And
yeah, but hang on.
No one left.
Isn't there that really big Pac-Man, though, that eats the Pac-Man in the end?
Well, that's globalisation.
See, there's a flaw in your argument there, but it's a nice analogy. I quite like it. Pac-Man. A lot of pills in the Perrier Awards.
Yeah, it's pilled up Perriers. Back to
really?
You now, Mike.
You might want to retract that.
In a conversation about jabs, so we're on to injecting, you won the pronunciation of the week for your attempt at whooping cough.
My two older sons, aged 17 and 16, had the 3-in-1 injection and separate ones without whooping cough in it. Whooping cough. I know you don't like my pronunciation of certain things, do you?
Well, no, that's just incorrect.
Well, how is it incorrect?
What? It's pronounced whooping cough. I know whooping cough.
How do you know that? You can't even pronounce the.
So I do. Well, you just got it wrong.
Yeah, really. It's called whooping cough in my house.
Yeah, well, that's your incorrect house of incorrectness.
Have you ever had it?
No, I don't think so.
There you go.
I just have a normal
Another
cough.
Another expert.
Caller Stephen in Lincoln wins the classic Perrier wrong namer of the week.
Now, a couple of million quid to investigate, you know, the accusations of a fantasist.
It makes my blood boil, Nick. I feel so sorry for Harvey.
Nick. Well, his name was Nick, you see. That's why it's understandable, isn't it?
That was Stephen in Lincoln.
No, but Nick was the guy who was making the accusations. That was obviously in his head.
You glossed over that. Never mind. Mike, you also win the Perrier this week for almost swear of the week.
but maybe, just maybe, this police watchdog will actually find something good about the investigation that they do, and they will somehow manage... Blimey, I don't remember that.
No, it grabbed all our attention.
Yeah.
We're like, what's that?
Yeah, but, I mean, that definitely wasn't what you think it was.
No, I've listened back to it and it was broadcast safe.
Yes, thank
which
goodness.
Is good. The Enthusiasm Award goes to Katie, the namesake Perrier, as she came on the show the morning after a very late night before.
Probably feeling a little fragile this morning after throwing the big party that she throws every single year, a bit karaoke thrown in. Katie, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
Now, how late were you up last night? Tell us the truth.
About 4.
Unbelievable. I don't know how she does it.
No.
But it's good to see Katie Perrier getting a Perrier, though.
Yeah, about like time. A real highlight now. Mary in Hemel Hempstead wins Call of the Week.
First, though, here's Mary in Hemel Hempstead. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mike.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. You know, you're the image of Nick Ferrari. You've probably been told that before.
Well, I mean, thank you very much indeed. Nick's an old mate of mine, actually, so... I don't know what's going on there. What was that like? What was that noise? I think Mary's lost herself there. We'll come back to her. Either that or something's blown up, but hopefully not. Did you ever hear from her again?
Yeah, we had her on the same show. We got her back on the line later, about 10 minutes later.
It's always worrying when that happens.
Yeah, it is. You didn't really know what's going on. No. That's why we never ask people to be driving when they call us.
Yes, very good. Very sensible.
Yes. LaDonna Harvey from San Diego, KOGO. She wins...
you said KGB then, didn't you?
No. She wins Question of the Week.
And this music, of course, can mean only one thing. It is the return of the ubiquitous LaDonna Harvey from KOGO in San Diego. LaDonna, a very good morning to you.
Are you calling me a tart?
I'm certainly not. I don't know where that reference came from, to be honest. Maybe they have some kind of ubiquitous tart.
Yeah, it's available at all Walmarts.
Yeah, along with the guns.
You would have seen this one coming, I think, Mike. You win the Perrier for most obvious Perrier moment of the week.
Calm. And a very measured Prime Minister, as against the kind of the crazed Jeremy Corbyn, who just wants to say no, 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 no to everything. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Yes.
Classic.
Very good.
Yes, enjoyed that. As I mentioned earlier, we brought you this week Boris Johnson's conference speech, and joining you, Mike, in the studio for some analysis was the barrister and former MP Gerry Hayes, and he won the Perrier for Shock of the Week for when this unheard-of thing in a radio studio happened.
I'm delighted to say that I'm now joined by one of the few barristers who hasn't blocked me on Twitter, Mr. Gerry Hayes. Welcome.
Oh, good heavens, the microphone's just come on.
Good. Oh. Well, that's what we do in radio. When you're about to speak, we turn the microphone on, usually.
Brilliant.
It doesn't always happen.
No,
a rival
true.
Broadcaster up at a Tory party conference last Sunday night had two guests in their little booth, and when they started speaking, they didn't turn the microphones up. It sounded awful.
Brilliant. Later, Gerry Hayes had to make his correction of the week.
That's, again, it's a complete misunderstanding.
No, it isn't.
Well, I tell you what it is. Look, I'm doing this for free. Yeah, I'm going to give you. Well, no, actually, I get 50 quid for this program. So there we are.
Excellent.
Keep it down, Gerry, otherwise everyone will want that.
Yeah, but he won't get it for about 2 years.
No, that's true, yeah. We'll send you the forms. However, and I hope you didn't think that we would skip over this, Mike. You have won the Perrier for Awkward Backtrack of the Week.
Excellent. Yeah. We still haven't yet heard the Brexit plan.
And you know, Mike, I don't think we will.
Oh, I think we will. I think we've still got about 20-odd, half an hour to go, perhaps, and he's presumably keeping that bit to the end, isn't he?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Boris Johnson speaking to Conservative Party conference. He spoke for around about 40 minutes, I suppose, and he talked a great deal about how... he wanted to get Brexit done. Not much detail, Gerry, on
none at all.
Perhaps how he's going to get it done.
But where was Brexit the plan? Done.
Well, I wasn't expecting him to give out every single coffin
but
spin
there was
of the
nothing.
Detail.
There was nothing.
Yeah, but he said that we were going to do it, which is all that people want to hear right
the
now.
First... Because
that's true,
oh,
though.
Oh, dear.
I mean, there is a plan. It's to get
which
out.
Which he did say he would say,
and
then
he
didn't say.
And he did. He said he was going to leave.
Never mind. We got some hunting to get onto. So just quickly, let's pop to the Julia Hartley breakfast show. She was at the Tory party conference as well, and I'm led to believe putting the emphasis on the word party. This morning, today's show, she won the Perrier for seemingly having had the longest week.
Know your times.
Good morning to you. This is a Conservative. I spent too long at Conservative Party conference there. This is Breakfast on Talk Radio with Julia Hartley Brewer.
Well, it's a very long conference,
it has to be said. She got there in the end. Well done, Julia.
Well, at least, I mean, more importantly, we stayed on the air the whole time we were there, unlike some broadcasters who, I'm afraid, didn't.
Yeah, well, that's us. We are the best.
We are professionals.
And finally, another Perrier classic, and it goes to you, Mike. Your somewhat heated conversation with caller Peter in Wimbledon won you the shutdown of the week.
Well, you wish you were, but you're not coming across like a staunch, hard lever... who has all his senses left him. You know,
why do you say that? I didn't even vote to leave.
Well, you're trying to portray yourself as someone who's sensible and neutral.
I don't have to portray myself, Peter. I don't have to portray myself as somebody sensible, but it's very clear that there is only one deranged person in this conversation. It's you. You've become obsessed with me. You're telling me that I'm a fan of Vladimir Putin. You're telling me that I voted to leave. You're telling me that I'm some kind of mad Brexiteer. You are wrong. Wrong, wrong, and wrong.
Well, you're promoting the idea of no-deal Brexit as some sort of a...
No, I'm not. When did I promote the idea of no-deal Brexit?
All of your callers calling in, and you.
Is it me or is it them? Which is it?
Well, you should stop people. When people talk nonsense, your job is to stop them.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right now because you're talking nonsense, Peter. Thank you very much indeed. I hope he comes back, Peter.
Excellent fun. That's it for the Perry Awards. There will be more.
Well,
the very same time next week.
Thank you.
The Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
More blasted rhetoric from the Banana Republic for people who think capital punishment isn't going nearly far enough.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham
on Talk Radio.
I'd change shapes just to hide in this place, but I'm still an animal. Nobody knows it but me when I sleep.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. This is now what we call the culture section of the show because I'm joined, I'm delighted to say, by James Chiaverini, director of Il Portico, which is apparently London's oldest family-run restaurant.
That's
James,
right.
Welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Thank you so much for coming in.
I've got in front of me a very beautifully shaped white plate and sitting on it is a rather nice-looking and intriguing-looking taco, which looks like it's got a bit of guacamole on it. A little bit of refried beans underneath, maybe?
Yeah, that's right.
And something in the middle, which I can't identify.
Well, the first thing is that we own an Italian restaurant, so this is not obviously something you'll find at my local restaurant,
okay.
But it all fits in with the general philosophy.
Right.
That we specialise in hunter-gathering, we specialise in wild foods. This is what we call a mixed small game dish. So whenever I have friends coming over, or if I'm trying to introduce animals, which maybe people aren't, you know, terribly au fait at eating...
Yes.
If I package it up in a very friendly manner, like a taco, it tends to go down a lot better.
Okay, I mean, I'm a big adventurer when it comes to food, you know, and I'm very happy to eat pretty much anything that anyone puts in front of me, including and not limited to, I've eaten crickets,
yeah.
I've eaten
are they good?
Slow worm pasta. Crickets are actually really nice, tastes a bit like trail mix. If you sort of sauté them and they're crunchy.
Yeah, I believe it.
I've had crocodile,
yeah,
which tastes a bit like chicken.
Yeah, fishy chicken.
Rattlesnake.
Is that good?
It was a bit cartilagey, to be honest, a bit chewy. Yeah. And venison, obviously, you know, buffalo.
Yeah.
So what is this that I'm about to put
so
in my
this
mouth?
Is a mixture of wild rabbit and grey squirrel.
Squirrel?
Yeah.
Grey squirrel?
Yeah.
Does it come
the invasive
from
grey squirrel.
Somewhere near your restaurant in Kensington?
No, it's not from Hunter Park,
like,
no.
You haven't, like, shot it with a bow and arrow?
No. So basically, a lot of my hunting is done down in Sussex.
Mm.
So down by East Sussex in Rye.
That's not far from... I go down to very near Bexhill at the weekends.
Yeah, so not far from there at all.
That's lovely.
Yeah, and we, you know, we've
squirrel
got...
Squirrel tacos, I'll tell you what.
We've got about 200 acres of woodland, which owns a customer of mine,
mm-hmm.
who wants to replant a lot of the indigenous oak populations
down
there.
Well, that's quite spicy as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. But the Forestry Commission will then come down and then tell you how many, basically, venison you have to basically dispatch every year, or how many grey squirrels you have to dispatch every year in order to maintain healthy populations.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of guys will go down there and basically just manage the population and then, you know, just leave the carcass to rot. Or guys like me will, you know, show a little bit more respect and reverence and come back and cook it and eat it.
And with something like, is squirrel considered game then?
Yeah,
is
very
it?
Much so, yeah.
So you only, have to hang it and all that?
No, it's small game, so it's not really, and it's white meat, so it's not really, you know, don't really need to hang it or anything.
Okay.
It's eaten a lot in America, it's eaten a lot in Asia. In Europe, we don't...
In Asia, they pretty much eat everything, don't they? If it moves, eat it.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a bit better
this
than rabbit.
This is delicious.
It is really good.
This is really nice.
It's really good because it's an organic meat.
Mm.
It's white meat. It's very lean. There's no fat. There's no saturated fat in it. And also because they have a very high...
You don't get much out of a squirrel, though, do you?
No, you'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how big they are when you
squirrel sandwich. What else can you do with it?
Oh, anything. So you can braise it. You can, you know, you deep fry it, like chicken wings, like buffalo wings.
Mm.
To be honest with you, we eat them in the staff in the restaurant. We have them for staff dinner. Yeah, we don't sell them to the customers or anything because it's not really commercially viable.
So wouldn't you have the vegans up in arms about all of that outside the restaurant or
something? No, not really, because I think at the end of the day, we're very blessed to live in, you know, in an abundant society where we've got a choice of such a wide array of choice of foods that we can eat.
And I think people misunderstand how much better organic meat is, you know,
yes.
Like, rather than the stuff that you buy. I mean, I've given up altogether now buying sort of chicken from supermarkets, really, because it's even the stuff they call organic. Whereas when you go to a proper butcher, it's so much better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we should all be doing, is basically just being a bit more fussy about the types of meat that we're eating.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, people will listen to commentators like Chris Packham or like Ricky Gervais, and, you know, without having any in-depth understanding of it,
they will think that's this kind of maniacal, sadistic killing spree. Right. And really, nothing's further from the truth.
Well, I mean, up in Scotland, where I used to live, they manage the game up there. They, you know, they have grouse shooting, they have, you know, deer culls and all of that. Because if they didn't, you literally wouldn't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah,
because there'd be so many deer.
Yeah, we are the apex predator, you know, of this country, and we have a responsibility to manage everything that's below us in the food chain in a clear and sustainable manner.
Right.
And this is the argument about meat eating and, you know, veganism, is that it's not really about sustainable harvest, it's about an industrial process.
Mm.
But that industrial process isn't limited to meat. That industrial process is salmon farming. That industrial process is almond plantations, so everyone can have their almond milk, they don't want to have dairy or soy.
There's so much hypocrisy in the world, though, isn't there? It's the same as all these people who go on about the, you know, the climate and, you know, I know, here's a good idea. Let's take a fire engine down to the Treasury and try and fire some fake blood out of a hose that you haven't got enough, you know, cojones to handle.
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you look at, I mean, you don't need to look any further than everyone's sort of favourite woke food at the moment, the avocado.
Right.
And it takes 1,300 litres of clean applied water to produce 1 kilo of avocado.
Is that right?
So that's 300 litres of clean water per fruit.
Mm.
So you've now got villages in Chile and Mexico and other, in other South American countries, where it's now the avocado population has now fallen into the hands of the cartels because there's so much demand in areas like Islington Green. You know, they're now calling it the green petrol in Mexico.
Yeah.
And they're diverting clean water away from villages.
And
you know,
also, they've got to get, then they've got to get it here as well,
yeah,
right?
And then they've got to fly it over here as well. And you've got whole villages in Chile, you know. These poor guys have literally to bathe and drink sewage water because some wallies over here called Pongo and Frutella don't want to give up their smashed avocado on toast in the morning.
I should tell everyone that there is some guacamole on this taco.
There is. But then again, I don't. And I do actually get on with the vast majority of vegans.
Mm.
And because, you know, the vast majority of people just want to live their lives in
that's
quiet.
I mean, there's an old joke, isn't there? Why did the vegan cross the road to tell you he was a vegan? As long as they don't do that, that's fine, as far as I'm
absolutely
concerned. Eat what you like, you know.
Yeah, most people who are into hunter-gathering and most vegans...
Is it like a growing thing? Is it a bit, like the sort of, do you remember the Iron Man phenomenon where people would go around hugging trees and hugging each other and leaving seeing no women anywhere and all that? Is it a bit like that?
It is, do you know what? And it is, because I think that we want to go back to this sense of maybe not all traditional masculinity is inherently toxic.
Right.
And there's also this very old idea that keeps on coming back around that, you know, a meaningful and successful life is one of responsibility. And that
doesn't mean women can also do the hunting, though, right?
Yeah, of course they can, yeah. And that's another huge growing population as well, which is great, you know. And one of the things that we love
this
most
is so
about...
good.
Pleasure. One of the things that we love most
about...
Apologies
for eating on the air.
No problem. Is the, you know, when new people do want to get involved and stuff, and especially women, and they do want to understand more about the provenance of their food, and they want to have a sense of sustainable modern living when it comes to being, you know, being an omnivore.
Right. And let's tell us a bit more about your restaurant, because the oldest family-run restaurant in Kensington High Street, is it?
It's in Ken High Street, yeah. As far as I know, it's the oldest one in London. It's been going now for
I must come and visit it, because I go over there from time to time. Last time I was over there, I ended up in the Ivy. Which wasn't really where I wanted to go, to be honest.
No, well, they're difficult to find, these little small little gems. But, yeah, we've been there for over 50 years.
Okay.
So we emigrated over from northern Italy, where subsistence and commercial hunting was a perfectly valid way of feeding your family.
Well, you do find this, don't you, much more in Europe. In Spain, people are killing the local rabbits all the time, and they eat rabbit much more than we do. And, I mean, in rural Britain, actually, it's probably more popular than it is
very
in London.
Very much so. And it is a divide between the metropolis, you know, and areas like London and the rural communities.
Right.
And what we try and do is try and bridge that divide a little bit.
Okay.
So we're doing this whole hunter-gathering festival for the whole of October. And that includes things like black truffles from the Savanac Forest and wild mushrooms and chestnuts and blackberries. So it's not all about...
Well, I'm a big frequenter of Borough Market. So I'm always in there. They've got these amazing mushroom stands. And, you know, they've got ridiculously expensive ones. But I'm really into the different flavours, you know. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should all be eating really a 100-mile diet. Like, that's really the solution to, you know, the food crisis in terms of climate change. You know, if you just eat everything that's around you.
Well, this
you
is it. I mean, all these people that talk about, you know, after Brexit, you're not going to get any food because you won't be able to get it delivered from overseas. It's like, well, we don't, you know, we live in a place where we have plenty of food. Why would you need to fly it all in?
Yeah, people just have to understand that they don't have to, you know, you don't have to eat blueberries in February.
No.
You don't have to have avocados, you know, or every day of the week, or have asparagus in December when they're out of season.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, people who do choose to live this way, I think they choose to have a life of more that's more in sense of a sense of harmony with nature.
Right.
You know, because it is very hard work. And I think one of the reasons why we've been so successful in my restaurant for over 50 years is the fact that me, my father, my grandfather before us, bless his soul, you know, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the night to go out to the woods so you can basically hunt your own organic, sustainable protein. So our guests can come in the restaurant and share with that experience. You know? And it's that level of provenance that people really respect. It's the level of reverence that goes into the task.
Tremendous. Well, listen, we'll look forward to it. James Chiaverini, director of Il Portico. Look for it. It's in Kensington High Street. It's going to be all month long in October. Yeah. You're going to be doing the hunter-gatherer
thing. No squirrels, but maybe on the
quest. No squirrels, but listen, I may be having to get a recipe or two off you for this because I've got a few squirrels down in Sussex where I am. I may have put them to some good use. James, thank you very much indeed. This is, of course, Talk Radio. I'll be back on Monday for more fun and games with Boris Johnson and the rest of the gang.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.